Thank you, Lord. He's a good, good God. So much comfort in that, knowing He'll never let you down. No matter what you're going through. If you go to Him, He will never let you down. It's impossible for Him to let you down. He's got a hold of you. And when things aren't seemingly working the way you want them to, it's not because of Him. I'm not going to say it's 100% because of you either. I'm not going to say it's 100% the devil all the time. But I know this, God will never let you down. And that's good, good news. That's good, good news. The world needs to know that. We've got to prove it to them. It comes up in my spirit more and more. We've got to prove it to them. Demonstrate. If you have your Bibles, which I encourage you to bring and open daily. How many eat breakfast and what do they call it around here? Lunch, supper, dinner. How many eat physical food because your tummy tells you, feed me, feed me, feed me? Well, your spirit man, the real you, see, your tummy's going to be left in that casket should you leave this earth before you go to be with the Lord. Your tummy's going to be left in that casket. Be kind of interesting, but we could open you up right in that casket and show the tummy, which speaks loudly. But your spirit, you are spirit. You need to be fed. You need to be fed. We can't starve our spirit, man. All right, I'll say that, Lord. We see evidence of starving Christians by the lack of evidence in their life that they are Christian. Lord just told me to say that. Lack of evidence. Lack of evidence. Acts chapter 1. It's not where I was going, but I'm prompted to go there for the moment. So we'll go there. Jesus is speaking. Verse 3, he spoke after he had presented himself alive, after being crucified, after dying. He was raised up out of hell, and he presented himself to do what? To demonstrate. We're not just believing. There was over 500 people that God had Jesus physically present himself to. In a court of law, in this country, you need just one witness to bring an accusation, say, yep, I saw him do it. And the judge will say, that's sufficient. Jesus had over 500 people that saw him. There were historians. I shared this with a 10th grade class several times. There were historians. They weren't Christians. They didn't accept Jesus. They were reporters. How many know all our reporters are not Christians? By evidence, we see that. But I told them that God presented himself. Jesus presented himself to provide evidence, to provide proof. This word here, as we drop down, he spoke to them for 40 days, a 40-day seminar. Now, I've been to a 7-day seminar, and my wife and I come out of those things just about walking on the water. Can you imagine 40 days, not just 7 days? We saw what 40 days of rain did. Flooded the earth. What would 40 days of intense Bible study with Jesus do for you? You'd be glowing. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. Speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is God's system, his government. It's his way of doing things. He took 40 days to talk about how God does things. So there's ways to, and it's been written down for you and for me. And so drop down to verse 8. Because they were still confused. They thought that Jesus was going to set up his physical kingdom. And he said, no, no, no. He says, it's not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. So don't worry about that, boys. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me. That word witness means proof provider. Proof provider. We should be able to present proof that God is God when somebody wants to know. The church should not be void of the power to produce evidence. We should be filled with the power and continuously, daily providing evidence. And as I said a minute ago, the lack of the evidence shows me that the Word of God is not operating as it's supposed to in our lives. The evidence needs to be provided for a world that doesn't even know a God. They have so many mindsets of what a God looks like. And if they're looking at this country as a Christian country, they're messed up. Yes, our founders were, you know, God had this country created. But you can go everywhere, including Laconia, and see evidence that God's not everywhere working. He wants to be, but he needs to be through you and through me. It's up to us. God's not out in the streets right now while we're sitting here, unless there's people that are born again that are in the streets. Then he's there. So much has been miscommunicated in the church, and the church has gotten this mindset that Sunday morning is it. Sunday morning is not it. It's where you come to get refired. But I'll tell you what, you get into this book yourself, you can refire yourself any day of the week. And then take the evidence where you go. Where you go, you carry the kingdom. You're the real deal. You are Christ representatives. We're ambassadors for him. We stand in place of him. And we carry the authority and the power that he put in us to do those same works that he said we would do in John 14, 12. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. When I got a hold of it and began to study it and believe it and act on it, I began to see miracles in my life. Never seen them before. You'll get what you believe for and what you put your hand to. God wants you to put your hand to something. Every one of us has an assignment. Some of us have multiple assignments. You have an assignment when you go to work. You have an assignment when you go to Walmart. You have an assignment when you go to the gas pumps. When you go to the beach. There's an assignment that is inside of you that somebody in the planet needs what we have. That everybody needs God. Would you agree with that? Everybody needs God. So when you come across the worst, wickedest people, it's just because they don't know God. Look, I have a good friend that's a Christian. He was a murderer. He murdered somebody. Was in prison for life. He's been to this church. And God got him out of prison. And now he's on a mission. And everywhere he goes, he's sharing God's goodness. He was thrown in jail and that's where he was going to stay. None of us would have ever met him. I met him in the church service. How about that? Like I tell the sheriff's department when I come across them, and I have multiple times in the checkout line or something, and I said, they can go to your place. Right behind us is the county jail. I said, well, they can come here. I said, they have a choice. I say, it's about choices. You shall be witnesses, proof providers, evidence providers. Luke 24:49 says, you'll be clothed with power. Look around. Everybody's clothed with something on today. But the world should see you clothed with power. How about that one? How about that one? See, when I was in that elevator, all I had to do is put my hand on that woman's shoulder. I said, we'll be praying for him. I told you about that, didn't I? Yeah. I was going to the garage to get something. And I was in the elevator, and they wheeled somebody in that was going to an emergency room on a stretcher. Paramedics are there, and the wife and some other woman. And they're all nervous, and she's talking to him saying, this isn't pleasant, and, you know, whatever. And I just felt impressed, put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, what's his name? That's all I said. What's his name? She kind of looked at me funny. I said, I'm going to be praying for him. And I gave Jerry the thumbs up. He opened his eyes. I gave him the thumbs up as I left. It happened in 15 seconds. I said, Jerry, you're going to be okay. And I left. I gave him the thumbs up, and he looked at me. And he had tubes all in him, and they were working on him for something. And as I left there, I just began declaring health and wholeness into his body. I said, Father, give the doctors wisdom. Wisdom is supernaturally knowing how to take knowledge. We met people that, I said this earlier, that their children are there in their hospitals and doctors' offices in their hometowns, and nobody knows what's going on with them. There's something different here. There's more knowledge. There's more knowledge. And I just prayed for the wisdom of God to come upon these people with the knowledge and knowing exactly what to do with that knowledge. It's not enough to just have knowledge. You have to know how to use that knowledge. We have to know when to open our mouth and when to shut our mouth. That's wisdom. That's godly wisdom I just gave you. He just gave you. I haven't got to my notes yet. This is not where we were going. But the evidence of God living inside of us, come on. The God that said, light be. The God that put the stars in the sky and the moon and the sun. How many saw the solar eclipse thing? How many of you thought, nobody saw it? On TV or whatever. Don't look at it, you know. How could you possibly look at something like that and say, yep, it was just a big bang and some blob of something came and here we are. It takes more faith to believe something so stupid. Okay. John chapter 7. That's all right. We're going to get there. I as we were in praise and worship, the Lord spoke to me and said that the message I have for today is going to be more than just one message. So I said, okay. You want to know why he said that to me? Because I was thinking of time. He said, don't worry about the time. He said, we're going to get there. And I already shared the title. I don't know if anybody remembers it. No, I didn't tell you that was the title. But I shared the title of the message of the series probably that we're going to start. John chapter 7. Let's just take a quick look at this since we've been talking about the Spirit of God. Verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. When your spirit man gets thirsty, go to Jesus. Go to him. When you get hungry, you go to... Well, I hope you know. All going to... I didn't even say that. I don't go there anymore. Years ago, I thought that was like the... God put him on the planet for me, but no more. It's been probably decades. I remember the last time I had to go to one. It's because my grandchildren said, that's where we want to go. I said, oh, no, please. You really don't. But we did, and it wasn't what I wanted it to be. But anyway, it wasn't a Ken's cheeseburger. If you like cheeseburgers, you got to go to El Akoya Barn and Grill. If you need flowers and shrubs, you need to see Suzanne sitting right in front of him. If you need help installing them, my son, the drummer there, you need to see him because he puts them in. And if you need carpentry work, we got Scott and Dale's. I don't see Dale here, but he does that. And thank God for Scott. Our labor of love project, we're still in the basement. But that's okay because we're building a sure foundation, aren't we? We put in 4x4 posts and the thing bowed. It's like, well, that's not going to hold. So we went and got 6x6 posts and they're pretty solid right now. But we're putting in bunches of them. The person that gets this house, we're building this built on the solid rock of the foundation. But I tell you, before we're done, Deb brought Sharpies. You know what a Sharpie is? And we're going to put the Word of God inside the cavity of this home on the floors. Except the living room floor. Don't be writing on the living room floor. That's solid maple, and we're going to use that. But it's slow going because we have to firm up and shore up the foundation so that when we do build up above, it won't sag. So it's going to be wonderful, and we're going to get to the point where we need more of you to help us do things. Right now, it's been specialized. I didn't know if he was specialized in jacking up houses, but that's the only thing my insurance policy said it didn't cover.
Oh, no.
Did I share that with you? I didn't. Oh, no. So you know, I don't know if you knew it, but I was praying in tongues when you and John were doing that. Because Jack kicked out one time, and I witnessed it. And I said, okay, we gotta crank up the prayer here. So be praying. If you can't be there, pray over this place. Nobody's getting hurt. I did buy a first aid kit, by the way. We had a little boo-boo on a finger, and it was probably a big boo-boo, but we're not giving. Anyway, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. God wants us to drink in his spirit. His life, it's filled with life. It's filled with life. And strength. He who believes in me. Do we have any believers in here this morning? As the scripture has said, Scott made mention, God watches over his word to make sure it comes to pass. If his word says it, it's happening. If you believe it. If you don't believe it, it ain't happening for you. All we're required to do is believe. And then what does James say? Now don't just be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. So if you truly believe it, you'll produce evidence, won't you? That's when you open your mouth when you need to. Is this okay? He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of your spirit, man, out of you, will flow rivers of living water. Life comes out of you. Life comes out of you. I remember when, Mindy, when you were at the hospital with Joey, and we came up in the middle of the night, and they're going to take him over to Dartmouth, because once again, they didn't know. I'm not knocking this hospital here. You know, thank God they're there, and they can do what they can do. And the nurses and the doctors, we thank God for them. But they didn't know. And he's just about the color of gray. But the life of God came into him. And those doctors, I watched them. I wasn't watching Joey. And they just went, whoa. And I was telling Deb over in Portland this week, multiple times, I hate hearing crying children. But that was a beautiful sound. Because he was lifeless. And life came back into him. And like I said, the doctors were just like, whoa. And the paramedics that were bringing him, and then they set him up, and then he started talking. You don't go without oxygen for a long period of time without having damage to the brain that's in us. But that little boy did. Because the life of God came into him. That's how we can be confident that God will never let us down. What happened when Jairus got that bad report? Jesus is on his way to the house to heal his daughter that's at a point of death already. They come and say, don't even trouble him anymore. Your daughter's dead. Jesus wasn't moved by that report. You cannot be moved by the doctor's report. Fear will come in and Jesus addressed that. Don't fear, believe only. Believing only will keep your children alive. Keep you alive. Verse 39, but this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Before we leave here today, wow. Did we change the clocks last night? Ha ha ha, keep laughing. Somebody needs a touch from God. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Deb and I, we got to laughing because we were celebrating the victory. That's before we ever got to Maine. We start from the position of we have the victory. We sang about it. Jesus purchased the victory on your behalf. He did it for you. Did it all for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be so cool when we meet him face to face. It's like, he's the man. He's the real deal. Could have called on all of the angels and legions of them to come and just smoke these people. And yet he chose to keep his mouth shut like a lamb being led to slaughter. He did it for you and for me. He did that for you and for me. Well, next week we're going to start on the message that he gave me. And nobody picked up on what the title was? No? No? I think I was praying. What? No? Fit for the master's use. Hmm? That came out of my mouth, ma'am. When I was praying. Yeah. We'll check the recording. And I thought, oh, fit for the master's use. And like I said, as we were worshiping, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is going to be longer than one message. Fit for the master's use. I'm just going to leave you with this one question. Are you fit for the master's use? Are you fit for the master's use? Well, let's just close in prayer. And since the Lord led me to talk about the Holy Spirit there, after I close in prayer, if there's anybody here that has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you'd like to, I'm going to be up here for a minute, and you just come up. And you believe it, you receive it. You get it. When he baptizes you, like it says in Luke 24:49, he comes upon you. He clothes you with that power. That power is for you for service. If we're going to be fit for the master's use, we're going to have that power operating in our life. Maybe you've never heard that before, but that's true. If you want to provide evidence of the power of God, you're going to have to do it his way with his power. Remember this, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. That's what he was doing, with the Holy Ghost in power. Let's just look at that. Who went about doing good. But you see, Jesus could do nothing. He could do nothing. He hadn't entered into that place until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Couldn't do it. He had 30 years of life on this planet. Didn't do one miracle. But boy, when the power of God came on that boy, and I don't say that disrespectfully, he began his ministry, and his ministry was all miracles. There's nothing there that's not miraculous. Even the compassion when he meets a woman at the well, the compassion, that's God. Didn't judge her, didn't speak down and condemn her. She met her Savior at that well. Acts chapter 10. I want to start in verse 34 because Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for one, he'll do it for another. He'll do it for you." There's been too much misunderstanding of what God will do for somebody and what God won't do for somebody. And I share quite frequently Luke chapter 5, verse 12, when that leper came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I know you can heal me if it's your will." He didn't know it was his will. You have to have the known will of God before you can receive anything from him. You have to know it. That leper didn't know. When Jesus reached out and touched him and said, "I'm willing." Okay? Jesus only did what the Father told him to do and said what the Father told him to say. So now you've got God the Father involved. You've got Jesus saying, "I am willing." And then the Spirit of God, the power of God, went into that man and he was healed. God's not a respecter of persons. That means that he'll heal anybody here. And maybe I'll open up. I know God showed me a couple people being healed of some things, but how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, verse 38, with the Holy Spirit and with power. That's what we're talking about, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the power of God coming on you, who went about doing good. Look what he did when he went about doing good. It's good for healing to come, because sickness and disease came when sin came into the world. It says, he went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed by the devil. That's where sickness and disease and calamity comes from. The devil. When Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, now he went into service. The power was for him to now go out and serve the needs of mankind. Get that cancer off people. Get that leprosy off people. Get those people out of the snare of the enemy. And that's what your job and my job is to right now. We're to carry this thing on. How do I know that? Thank you for asking. Matthew 28. Jesus came and spoke to them. Again, this is after he was crucified. He died. He came back and he's presented himself. He's talking to the disciples here. And he says, he spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore." He's delegating that authority into your life and my life. "And make disciples." We're to make disciples. Disciplined ones of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. It's where I wanted to get you to see. "Teaching them to observe." That means teaching them to do all things that I've commanded you. You read the Gospels. Everything God, through Jesus, commanded those disciples to do, that's a commandment for you and for me. All the way down to today. In Laconia. In the Lakes region. In New Hampshire. In America. Yes, in Portugal and Turkey and South America. But the point is, it's for you and for me. We need that power upon us to now go into service to be able to do those works. Those evidence providers that the world will say, "Wow, this has got to be God." It'll get their attention. Amen. Stand with me. Father, we thank you for your great, great love for us. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Jesus and your very Spirit who lives big inside of us. Father, as we leave here today, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice had ears to hear and hearts to receive the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which is going to grow up in their spirits and is going to produce bringing glory to you and bringing benefits to the people that they touch on this earth. So we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.